Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A little holiday weekend coming up here. And to help us enter into the holiday weekend in style, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, and also host of Talking with TD. Teron Davenport, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. TD, what's going on, brother? Appreciate you taking time to join us two idiots this morning here on the program.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? It's good to be on. You know what happened this morning, right?
What's that?
Woke up. So what's that mean?
That's right. It means you're blessed. It's Feel Good Friday, TD.
Means we won.
That's right.
That's what it means.
There you go. Feel Good Friday here on Robbie and Rex Show. TD, we'll get to the Titans here in just a few minutes, but I do want to get your thoughts on what we're seeing right now in college sports with name, image, and likeness coming into effect. These athletes now able to make some money for their name, image, and likeness. And we've already seen this really explode yesterday with college athletes getting sponsorships left and right. What do you think about all this? What do you think this does for college athletics as we know it?
Well, I think it's about time because, you know, having been a student athlete before, I understand the balance and how tough it is to do both. I mean, imagine waking up in the morning at 5:30 a.m. and having to go to what we used to call Dawn Patrol, right? And going through all types of calisthenics and conditioning and weights and all of that. And then from there you go to breakfast and then you have to make it to your first class. And then you go to that class and then another class. You go to lunch. And then after that you go to film. And after that you go to practice. And then you have study hall. And then you go to bed because you're dog tired. So unless you've been through that, you don't really understand the dedication that it takes to be a student athlete. And that's why oftentimes, you know, and I'm not saying everybody, but oftentimes the people who are so against athletes being paid are the ones that haven't been there and done that. And if you look at these big schools, I mean, take Ohio State, for example, the Horseshoe, 108,000 people go there to watch them, what, five times a year? Imagine if each of those tickets are $10. It's a mere $10. That's over $1 million per appearance, right? And then you take that and you look at bowl games. When you go to a bowl game, your school gets at least $5 to $10 million. All that is going back to the school. So a lot of the non-student athletes that go to the weight room or go to the awesome facilities that are there for them, guess what that's provided for? The basketball team, the football team. Right? The very people who you're saying shouldn't be paid. So I think it's about time. And I don't think it's going to do anything for college athletes as far as like making college bad. I think it's going to make college better because now you're going to see just, you know, guys, their personalities and girls, you know, their personalities showing through. And it's all about getting the endorsements. So it just basically is controlling what, or not even controlling, it's releasing control of what these schools used to do, you know. So guys like Dabo Swinney who say they might stop coaching if athletes get paid, well, you know what? You better be thankful that these athletes are out there doing what they're doing because otherwise Dabo Swinney wouldn't get that big money, you know. So, and it's not his money to be concerned about, and it's not other people's money to be concerned about. And I think it's a great opportunity.
Love everything you just said there, TD. Now, I want to know, let's go back in time. Name, image, likeness is available. What is Teron Davenport endorsing in college?
Well, you know what? In college, you know, because of the way I was, I probably would have endorsed Old English or something like that, you know?
Oh, man, a 64 or a 40?
Oh, yeah, the 64, man. You get the bonus, yeah. But no, all jokes aside, it probably would have been like something like that or you know, some type of Nike sneakers, you know, those type of things.
I'm going to be thinking about those 64 yeah. ounces of OE. They'll last like 15 ounces. You got to grind through that, man.
You really do.
Oh, I love
and you
it.
Notice now they make them out of plastic. There's no more glass, you know, so too many people were using them as weapons.
Little safety measures being taken place on that front. TD, Getting into the Titans now, as you look at this offseason, everything that's happened up to this point, and you came out with a good piece along with the rest of the ESPN NFL Nation reporters the other day on ESPN.com. What do you think is still the biggest question left with this group as they head into training camp now coming up just a few weeks away?
Yeah, I think the biggest question, there's a couple. I would probably say the tight end position, and it's really interesting watching that whole thing work out. If you, Rexroy, I'm sure you've noticed that Anthony Firkser, he's gotten a lot bigger, lower body-wise, so it's a good thing to see just as far as a guy that's going to be asked to be in line. So you know what that means. He has to be able to drive off of those legs that are bigger and block. And that's going to be a transition for him because, you know, primarily he's been flexed or even lined up out wide. So I think the big thing is just, okay, how are they going to not be predictable within that offense? Whereas if Firkser is in, they're passing. If Swain's in, they're running. You want to make sure that you have that balance and take advantage of the opportunities that, you know, you could have by not being predictable. I think another thing is, and I asked Todd Downing about it, just as far as being able to make sure everybody's happy. Because right now, right, everybody's saying, hey, you know, if I'm not the guy this week, I'll be fine. I know I'm the guy next week. But when you're going through a losing streak, those type of things end up being magnified and you get a little more emotional about it. So I want to see how that works. I think that's a big question. Todd Downing, fortunately, he when I asked him about it, he said that every week presents a different challenge and all the weapons that they have will be good for them to attack in different ways. But let's face the facts. Derrick Henry has to touch the ball 25 times a game at least in order for you to win. So how are you going to do that and then get A.J. Brown his touches and Julio Jones his touches and Firkser his touches and so on and so forth? So that's a big question there offensively. Defense-wise, it's health, right? How is Bud Dupree going to come back from the ACL? How is Caleb Farley going to recover from the back surgery, the procedure that he had? You know, what are you going to get from these guys early in the season? So I think those are the main things for me.
You know, on the Henry front, TD, it's obviously we're all out here, you know, guessing like exactly what it's going to look like offensively, who's going to benefit, how's it going to work. Like you said, I mean, you're right. I think if they're winning, I think it'll be very easy for everyone to be like, hey, you know, next week I'll get more targets or whatever. And when you lose, you feel like you could do more to help your team win. I mean, that they got to win. But with Henry, I think it's interesting the idea of, well, maybe this means, you know, more yards per carry, more big plays, less stacked boxes. I almost wonder if you do have less stacked boxes, haven't some of his big runs come because of a stacked box? Because you get to the second level and now you got one less guy, right? Like, how do you think that plays out?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And if you look at yards after contact last year, Derrick Henry had more yards after contact than anyone else had yards running, period. And that's just because of what he's able to do. And I think the best example of what you just said, if you go back to the 2019 divisional game, the one where he broke Matt Judon's tackle at the line of scrimmage and scooted away from everybody, and somehow Marcus Peters tracked him down. But that was against a stacked box. So to your point, right, you break that tackle, you get to that second level, and if you have the speed that Derrick Henry has, the long speed that is, you could pull away. And, I mean, you look at it, there's only three guys at the third level. So you get past that second one, I mean, it's usually good. And most safeties, you know, somehow they cannot get that right angle to bring Derrick Henry down. So, yeah, 100%. It's just really, like Julio Jones said, every week you have to pick your poison. And even when you pick to stop the run, that's when they're still doing really well. And Taylor Lewan, I remember having a conversation with him a couple of years ago about that, just how they block it up so well and blocking that space and comboing up to another level of the defense. And then you look at, you know, guys like Corey Davis, what he would do down the field blocking, you know, A.J. Brown down the field blocking. It all just comes together. It's like tumblers to a lock, right? You get the first – part of the code, the second, the third, the fourth, and everything, it unlocks.
Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And TD, last thing for you here. We've talked so much about Bud Dupree coming in and not only the impact that he can bring individually, but how he can help Jeffrey Simmons as well. But I want to ask you about Danico Autry. How big a deal, how underrated do you think this Danico Autry signing has been in terms of the overall discussion about this Titans team?
Yeah, I think it's hugely underrated. And if you watch Danico Autry, you know, what he does is he brings the dog mentality to that front. And his hands are very powerful. He's, I mean, the guy has 7.5 sacks as an interior defensive lineman. So that lets you know that he is the truth. So I think that's good as far as what they want to do. He's well experienced at working hand in hand with another dominant defensive tackle. You saw what he did with DeForest Buckner. So I think that's going to work with Jeffrey Simmons, whereas they could do a lot of twists and things like that up front. But another area where it's really helping, and Simmons told me this on one that when I asked him, you know, about that relationship, he said he's already out there just showing him stuff and giving him different tweaks and tricks and things to do. And I think that's important, especially at that level, because, right, everybody's talented. Everybody's good. But when you have an OG to kind of come in and say, okay, well, you know, in this situation, this is what I do, you know, and when he shoots his hands this way, if you smack this one and use this one, those are all things that can make a guy like Simmons even better, who's already really good, right? One of the best defenders under 25. But then when you complement that with the different array of veteran things that Danico Autry can bring, now it makes it even better. And then also, you won't be able to double-team Simmons as much. And also with Dupree and just what they could do up front, it's a really good situation for them. They're just going to have to, you know, manage to stay healthy and go out there and do what they have to do.
TD, you got a new episode of Talking with TD that is out, including a name I know Titans fans will be very excited to hear from. What can we hear from, or what can we expect on the latest edition of Talking with TD?
Yeah, well, as always, you know, you got Run TMC, and I had Chris Sanders on, and we talked about his vision for how a wide receiver you would be. And that was fresh off of tight ends you. So tying that in line, Delanie Walker, man, I ran into Delanie and got to talk to him Thursday when they had the TEU summit. That was just an awesome experience. But so we got Delanie on, man. He talked some shop, tells a little a Mariota story. He went over just how that release went and his feelings, you know. And it's definitely a great episode, and we even took it back to his days in San Francisco, because as you guys know, I know Delanie from back then. So yeah, man, it's an awesome episode, man, and it's exclusive, you know, no one else talked to him. So I had to make sure we gave the people what they want.
Absolutely. You can check that out on the latest episode of Talking with TD. Teron, appreciate you so much taking time to join us this morning.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys, man, and God bless.
Absolutely. You as well. Hope you have a great holiday weekend. Teron Davenport, presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. We'll be right back. React a little bit to what TD had to say there. Get back into the news of the day as well. Victor Arvidsson traded from the Predators to the Los Angeles Kings. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.